Welcome to The Point. I'm Indy Todd. It's January, the start of the new year. In non-pandemic times, we'd be inundated with specials from fitness clubs and gyms, all vying to take advantage of our resolution to start exercising or lose weight. But group exercising inside isn't an option, and it can be difficult to get motivated to get outside in the cold. Today, we're talking about staying active at any age. We'll break down why it's important for our mental and physical health, what types of activities we should be focusing on depending on our age, and how to avoid some common injuries. Did you make a New Year's resolution to be more active? How's it going? Or are you someone who's found a way to keep exercise part of your regular routine? We'd love to know the secret to your success. If you'd like to join our conversation this morning, give us a call, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. With us is Dr. Jodi Colaccini. She has a doctorate in physical therapy and over 40 years of clinical experience in orthopedic, sports, and geriatric care. Jodi currently sees patients at Cape Cod Rehab. Jodi, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
So let's start with why movement is important for our cardiovascular system.
Well, our cardiovascular system requires, movement of the blood and oxygen through your body. So when we move, we are moving the oxygen through the body more quickly so that our organs can use it more efficiently. And in cases of exercise, of course, the lungs and muscles, work a little bit harder, so they become more efficient. And when the muscles are more efficient and the organs are more efficient, you burn more calories. So if your goal is weight loss, then of course you'll be more successful with that. If your goal is to improve your performance, when your muscles are more efficient, of course, your speed and efficiency of your activity increases, your fatigue reduces, et cetera. So movement is extremely important, not only for the cardiovascular system, but for multiple body systems.
And we always say that saying, use it or lose it, right?
Yeah. Very much so. Yeah, as we age, strength training in particular becomes key, because just as a normal process of aging, we lose muscle mass. The process is called sarcopenia, and there's a 3 to 8% loss per decade after the age of 30. So once we hit 30, things start to go downhill unless we make some effort to change or to slow down the process. By the time we are 65, we've lost about 27% of our muscle mass.
Wow.
And once we get into, your 50s and 60s and higher, that rate of change exponentially increases. So after the age of 60, you're losing 3% of your body mass per year.
Yeah, well, and, there's research that shows a sedentary lifestyle cuts your life short, right?
Right.
All right, so when people hear the term aerobic exercise, they might think of, running or bouncing around doing floor aerobics, but there are different levels of aerobic exercise. So what defines aerobic exercise?
Aerobic exercise is the utilization of oxygen within the body in order to move and perform. Your heart rate is usually the determinant of the quality of your aerobic exercise. And there's a little formula, it's called the Carbonin formula, but it's a really good formula that everybody should figure out what their heart rate range should be in order to be effective in an aerobic program. And if you'd like, I could quickly talk you through that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So if your resting heart rate is the heart rate that you have when you first wake up in the morning. So the first thing one needs to do is to determine their resting heart rate. So let's just assume your resting heart rate is 80, okay? Mm-hmm. The way that you figure out your max heart rate is you take 220 and you subtract your age. So let's just make some assumptions here. Let's say you're a 60-year-old person. 220 minus your age is 160. So that would be your maximum heart rate, okay? Your resting heart rate is, we said, was 80. So the little formula is this. You take 220 and subtract 60 to get your max heart rate, all right? Your heart rate reserve, which is another important number, it would be your max heart rate minus your resting heart rate. And so 160 minus 80 is 80. you take a percentage of that heart rate reserve, which is 80, and 60 to 80% would be the range that you want to be working in. I know it's a little confusing, but if you work it a lot on paper, it makes perfect sense. So if we have a heart rate reserve of 80, all right, and we take 60% of that, that's 128 beats per minute. And if we have 80% of that heart rate reserve, it would be 144 beats per minute if you add it back into your resting heart rate. So you figure out the target range with your resting heart rate and your heart rate reserve and a percentage of that. Once that numbers are determined, that's the heart rate range that you want to work in. It doesn't work for all people, though, because if you're less fit, you're going to work at a lower end. If you're more fit, you're going to work at a higher end. And if you're, if you're on medications that may suppress your heart rate, which a lot of people are, they're on beta blockers for hypertension or cardiac disease, then that formula might not necessarily work to your advantage. So
those
are things that would have to be worked out with a professional.
I was going to say, yeah, you want to talk to your doctor about that. And for people going, wait, what was that? We're going to put a link on our website on how to figure out your max heart rate.
Okay,
so you can check that out later on at capeandislands.org.
Yeah.
So how do we safely elevate our heart rate? And then do we have to pay attention to bringing our heart rate back down?
Yeah, there should be a warm-up and a cool-down period. So you always want to have a part of your workout that is where you're at your peak performance. So where you're targeting that that heart rate range, for 20 to 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. As adults, we're going to work out a little bit differently than children.
Right.
When you're a child, it's all about movement when you're a child. So those kinds of things aren't really a factor when you're generally under 17 years old. Once you're into an adult, 18 and older, you want to have at least 150 minutes a week of moderate intensity activity where you're bringing that heart rate up into that target range. And then at least 2 days a week of strength training.
Yeah. When should you be consulting a doctor before starting an aerobic exercise program? There's a lot of people who may have, really exercised a lot at one point, then got a little kind of sedentary, if you will, and mm-hmm. Have this, that we say weekend warriors, right? They just kind of jump back into a level that their body may not be ready for at the moment, right?
Right. Well, I think you need to consider that you're just not going to go out and run 3 miles if you haven't run 3 miles in 5 years.
Right.
So getting back into a stretching and a strengthening program first to prepare your body for the load and the impact and the aerobic needs is the first step, and then easing into that activity by setting small incremental goals. So mm-hmm. maybe you walk run for the first mile. And then over time, progressively increase not only the distance, but the amount of time that you're running, for example.
So basically, you want to start slow.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because your body needs time to recover. You need a couple of days for when you exercise, you are creating some damage, but the damage is repairable. But if you don't give yourself enough time to do that, or your body isn't efficient in the processes that do that repair, then that's when injury occurs. That's when you're going to be sore for a longer period of time.
Yeah. So you're talking about strength training also being an important mm-hmm. component of activity. So what are some mm-hmm. examples of strength training?
Okay, well, lifting weights, isometric, body resistance is one of the best ways to build strength. And in fact, for children under the age of 17, they don't really recommend, weight training per se, push-ups, sit-ups, anything
right.
where you're using your own body weight as your resistance is a wonderful way to begin strength training. You don't really need equipment.
Right. Yeah.
You don't need to go to a gym. You don't need to, necessarily buy weights or, get a fancy machine that costs thousands of dollars in your basement that you may or may not use.
Right, exactly. So I think, we get a little confused when we talk about this and people think they need to either be in a gym or they need all this fancy equipment, and you really don't, right?
No, you really don't. You really don't. There's just so much that can be done, just training the major muscle groups of your body using your own body weight. I mean, perfect examples are yoga, Pilates, You know, even the barre exercises where you use your body weight in a bar, you know, you don't necessarily need a bar. You could use a piece of furniture that doesn't move. I mean, there's just a myriad of means and ways to do that. I mean, going on TV, they have shows that you can watch regularly, videos. Online classes now are huge, Zoom programs, because we can't get together, you know, as frequently in the gym, or a lot of the gyms are actually closed down. We're fortunate here that we have a system in place where people are still able to come in. But a large proportion of our clients do video, either live video or archive video, to stay in shape. And some have opted for personal training. So you know, you don't have to physically be in the gym.
Right. So how does our bone density and strength change as we age?
Okay. Well, as we said, your strength changes because we lose that muscle mass, which is a natural part of aging. But if you have more to begin with, then you're going to be in much better stead as you get older. It gets harder to build it once you're older, but if you have it when you're younger and you maintain it, then you'll be ahead of the curve. As far as bone density, bone is a living tissue. It's constantly being replete, you know, being regenerated and being, you know, bone is taken away and then new bone is laid down based on the stresses of the body. So we get mass peak of bone density by the age of 30. But as we age, the replacement of that bone tissue starts to slow down, and the way that we intake and utilize calcium also changes. So that leads to the loss of bone density. And you know, as most of us know, as women particularly, when we reach menopause and we lose some of that estrogen, we're more prone to osteopenia and osteoporosis. Right. Although that's not a female-only process, it also happens in men. So as we lose the bone density, of course, our bones become more fragile and we become more susceptible to compression, fracture, and injury.
Yeah. Now, are changes to bone density uniform throughout our skeleton, or are there parts of the skeletal system that we see greater loss?
No, you could have a normal spinal bone density and have some loss in your hips. So no, it's not necessarily consistent. Bone is very responsive to the pull of tendon and muscle against it. So all of our muscles have tendons, and those tendons attach the muscles to the bone. So as we move, you know, as we physically use our muscles, as we strengthen our muscles, as we weight bear, those tendons pull on the bone. That is a stimulus to the brain, to the body system, that is an area of stress, and that's where we need more bone. Mm-hmm. That's when that process takes place. You know, your body says, okay, this is an area of potential stress and danger, so we've got to put more bone here to protect it, and that's how you build bone density. And that's why they advocate that weight-bearing exercises or strength training exercises are the best way to do that, because that stimulates muscles more efficiently than, let's say, being in the water. Although water, that's the only place you could be to exercise, and by all means, that's what you do. But given a choice between land and water to build bone density, land-based exercises are usually better.
Yeah, and you know, it's when we say weight bearing, a lot of people think, "Oh, you got to be in there like lifting weights, like you know, the big bodybuilders." And which is true, but you don't have to get into like the really heavy weights, right? It could be lower.
Oh no!
Even just
walking.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Years ago when I joined the gym, this was maybe a decade ago. I was telling my sister about, you know, I was doing a lot of, you know, weightlifting and things like that. And she said, "Oh, no, I can't do that. I don't want to bulk up." And I had to laugh because, at a certain age, you're not going to, it'd be impossible. You know, I'm almost 65. I'm not going to bulk up. But people in their mind, they go, "Oh, no, I can't do that because I'm going to look like a bodybuilder." not at that age.
No, not unless you were intensely training. And if anything, you probably get more definition. I don't think you get too much bulk.
Yeah, exactly. 866-999-4626 is our number. What motivated you to start exercising after a period of inactivity? 866-999-4626, our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about staying active at any age and why it's important for your mental and physical health. 866-999-4626 is our number. Do you work out with friends? Have you found an activity or sport you love? Share your secret to success with us. 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. With us is Dr. Jody Colaccini. She's a doctorate in physical therapy and over 40 years of clinical experience in orthopedic sports and geriatric care. She currently sees patients at Cape Cod Rehab. Jody, I think, you know, I like a lot of people, you know, I was about 10 years ago, I mentioned I joined the gym. I was working out maybe 5 days a week. I was really doing well. And then when my grandson was born, you know, he lives with us, I completely no more gym. And now, you know, I'm like, okay, he's five, almost six. And I'm trying to get kind of back into things. Obviously, I'm not going to the gym. So I started walking. And I think for a lot of people who might have some, you know, physical limitation, walking, if you can do walking, that's a great way to start, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Movement is the number one preventer of long-term illness and death. And actually, movement is one of the key factors in reducing falls. You know, as we get older, we have much greater fall risk. So by keeping our muscles strong, keeping everything flexible, we're reducing that fall risk. Once you fall, you're more likely to have secondary effects from that. You know, for instance, if you break your hip, of course, you're going to be, you know, immobile right. for a period of time. And then you get changes in your cardiovascular system, you know, potential for, you know, skin issues from, you know, if you're not moving around, pressure sores, or, you know, there's just this cascade of events that can happen when you're immobile. So walking is a fabulous way to get started. You know, it works your muscles, it stretches your muscles, it works your cardiovascular system, it works your pulmonary system.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know how I got myself walking is I got a dog. So I have no choice. I have to get out there every day. you have to do what you have to do to get yourself motivated. and you're talking about... Yeah, you're talking about strength, but balance is also really important. I notice, you know, I don't have the same balance that I used to have, and I've been trying to work on that. And that's really important, too, especially when you're talking about falling. So working on balance is important.
Yeah, fall risk is a huge in the rehab industry at this point. It's one of the key elements to any evaluation of anybody over the age of 65. It is now a requirement that we screen for it under Medicare and CMS. It's devastating for the individual physically, and in terms of the financial implications of the healthcare system, it's staggering.
Yeah, yoga's good for that, yeah. Right? Yoga's good for balance.
Yoga's good for balance. Pilates good for balance. Yoga's wonderful for flexibility and weight bearing. I mean, what do you do in yoga, right? You're balancing on single limb. You're, you know, your hands and knees. You're putting weight and pressure through all of those muscles in your shoulders, back, legs. Yoga's fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to Tara, who's giving us a call from Falmouth. Hi, Tara.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
So a few years ago, I had been going under, going through a breakup, and I was also overweight and going under a heavy depression. So I had hit the gym and actually just changed my whole mood. So I had lost weight, and I was using the weight training as well as the cardio, but like you had said, you wouldn't be bulking up. So I didn't necessarily bulk up, but I definitely had sculpted and toned my muscles. So using both that combination, even walking, cardio, with the weight training really had helped mentally and physically.
Yeah, Tara, you're bringing up a really good point. Mood. Jody, when you start exercising, you know, and Tara mentioned she was kind of feeling a little depressed. Right. It's amazing what exercise can do for mood.
Right. Well, not only from the standpoint of goal achievement, which is very rewarding, but chemically, you release in your body endorphins and enkephalins, which are natural hormones, which are mood elevating hormones.
Yeah.
So you're going to feel more euphoric. You're going to feel better because of those release of those hormones. And again, the more you exercise, the more efficient that release of those hormones. You know, people talk about the runner's high.
Right.
Yeah. That's what they're referencing. Yeah.
So Tara, have you been able to keep it up? I mean, now that you know we're not going to the gyms, what are you doing now?
I have. I canceled my membership from the gym last year, so I've been alternating with walks and with. I do have 10-pound dumbbells, so I mm-hmm. use that at some times at points. But I also have been going. I usually don't use this, but Instagram. I only use Instagram now for just different techniques that you can use for weight bearing exercises. So yeah. it still helps with. Yeah.
Tara, thanks for sharing your story. I appreciate that. Thanks for calling. Karen is giving us a call from Brewster. Hi, Karen.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Go ahead, Karen. I was so completely stressed out before the election in November, and we also have a restaurant here on the Cape. So between COVID and politics, I decided I needed to get out and start exercising. And I'm 57 years old, always admired people that jogged and never did. And so I got a app from Couch to 5K. And yesterday I reached 3K. So I find that the mood elevation is exactly what I need and I have achieved. So,
Karen, good for you.
It doesn't matter how old you are. Yeah.
Right. Karen, thank you for sharing that story. In reaching that goal, you must have felt really great getting to that 3K. I also have always admired runners. I am not a runner. I have a brother who was a runner. And when we were younger, you know, he was on the track team in high school. I would ride my bike next to him running. For me, it bothers my knees and my back and that kind of high impact. But Karen, thank you for sharing. So, Jody, for those of us, I wish I could be a runner, but it's just certainly not at my age. It's not going to happen. But
I am not
fast. Yeah. So, Jody, what are your thoughts? Fast walking, you know, we can still get
biking.
Yeah, biking.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Biking, swimming, cardio. Yeah. It's not weight bearing, but it's cardio. Kayaking, you know, canoeing, anything like that where you're using full body to, you know, to engage in a movement repetitively over a long period of time is good. Yeah, and you have to determine what your body can handle. You know,
right.
as with you, I've never been a runner. I have extremely flat feet. I've worn orthotics a good part of my life. Running is just not something that's comfortable for my body. But right. I'm a biker. I'm an avid kayaker. And that's how I stay fit.
Yep. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Lisa in Plymouth says, Tai Chi is a great way to improve balance, strength, and muscles, and it's also a good mental activity. I've been taking classes for 6 years and thoroughly enjoy it. Lisa, thank you for that suggestion. Another really good suggestion, Jody. You know, another problem that I've had since my 20s is I've had some lower back issues. And I found mm-hmm. out that when I went to the gym, when I was going to the gym 5 days regularly, my back issues went away. It's all mm-hmm. about core, right? So a lot of those back
core.
Issues are about poor core, right?
Right, right. Your joints are held together by your ligaments, but what really supports your joints in movement are your muscles. And if you don't have strong musculature, the ways that your joints move is not going to be normal, or you could potentially be, you know, injuring yourself. Either you could be too tight or you could be too flexible. So, yeah, core stabilization is key because everything comes from the core. If you think of your core as being the tree trunk of the tree and your arms and legs as being the limbs, if you don't have a strong trunk, the limbs are not going to function or move very well.
Yeah. What do you think about TRX, the TRX training?
I love TRX. What did I say? It's weight before. It's using your body weight, correct?
Yeah.
TRX is a wonderful medium. Yeah, I think you have to be instructed in it correctly, because you can potentially put yourself in positions that might not be too comfortable or could be potentially harmful to your joint. But I, you know, I utilize it quite a bit with my clients and the trainers at the facility that I work in. Use it all the time, so I really do like it.
Talk about stretching. Why stretching is important?
Oh my goodness, on so many levels. Okay, stretching is important because you need to warm up your muscles before you ask them to work. You have to elongate them. You have to bring increased blood flow to the area for those muscles to be more pliable and to also be more responsive to what you're asking them to do. So it's very important that you warm up. Simple warm-up, I mean, it could be taking a shower before you decide to work out, you know, maybe jogging in place for a few minutes, moving your arms around, just get some blood flow going. And you want to make sure that you do both sides of your body so that you have symmetry. It's best to focus perhaps on larger muscle groups in the trunk and the extremities, because those are the ones that do most of your work, and you want to move slowly, not bouncing. Mm-hmm. Bouncing creates a reflex response in our bodies that tells our brain that it's dangerous. So when you bounce, when you stretch, you're actually making those muscles react and tighten up. So it's kind of counterintuitive to what you're trying to achieve. And you want to be specific about your stretching. So if you're a runner, of course, you're going to focus on your lower body. If you're a rower, you would want to stretch more, you know, for your upper body.
Right.
And, you know, I guess stretching also requires some consistency. You you can't just stretch one day and then expect that you've done your job and you never have to do it again. It requires, you know, consistency over a long period of time in order for those muscles to reach a certain length and also to retain that length.
So what you're saying is, first you want to kind of get your blood going, and then you do some of this stretching. And then what about the end of whatever your workout is? You want to stretch at the end as well?
Yeah. You can stretch at the end. There's been studies over the years, you know, for the longest time there was advocacy to, you know, you must stretch before the activity. And then there was advocacy that, you know, really you're supposed to stretch at the end of the activity. But I think it's just a general loose warm-up, not necessarily specific to muscle groups, but just getting the blood flowing in the beginning is important. So as I said, you know, jogging in place, you know, moving your arms in circles, you know, kind of just moving around and getting the blood going through your whole body, getting your heart rate
jump rope
a little bit.
Yeah, jump rope is great. Yeah.
And maybe doing some of that more specific, you know, lengthening muscles to cool them down.
And you'd be surprised how many calories you burn jumping rope, right? It's harder than it sounds.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Barb, who's giving us a call from South Dennis. Hi, Barb.
Hello. I am 70 years old and an avid cyclist.
Yay,
and
Barb.
I recently got my yoga teacher trainer certificate. And I've started a kind of yoga class where there's lots of time for discussion and explanation of what the poses are, and we take it in little teeny tiny steps. So you learn two or three poses one week, and then you learn a couple more and add to that. So it's a gradual building on on just the very, very basics. And it's really designed for people who are afraid to jump into a regular yoga class.
Yeah.
And I have found that, as your guest has been saying, it does almost everything except cardio. It's strength, it's core, it's balance, and I've been doing it almost daily for the last two or three years, and I can say that I have really nice muscles, but I have not bulked up.
Yeah, nice muscle, nice tone, yes. Barb, thanks for sharing
right
that.
A lot of yoga is online, so, you know, it's great. To be you.
Yeah.
Barb.
That's a great idea, too. Yeah. Go ahead, Jody.
A comment. Barb, I find it very admirable that you take the time to explain, because I think so much learning and understanding and assimilation and of what you're trying to teach is so enhanced when you take the time to explain the whys and
right.
alleviate
and
concerns.
Says,
so kudos.
I can't that's do great. That. Then you can give them a modification or you
modification,
can say, well,
yep.
don't do that. If it hurts,
yep.
don't
yep.
do it.
That's right. Yeah. Barb, thanks. Thanks for that. Thanks for sharing that with us. Let's talk to Janet, who is calling from Eastham. Hi, Janet.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
So I'm not a yoga fanatic. I don't do yoga at all. But I am. I just had my knee replaced in November, beginning of November, and I've been going to physical therapy, and I've been doing a lot of stretching through that. And I've also been increasing my hiking around the this area here at the National Park because, you know, there's some really beautiful trails. So I've been able to make use of that at Fort Hill. There's a nice trail on and off the bike trail from the Coast Guard Beach parking lot to the visitor center.
Mm-hmm.
And it winds around the marsh. And, you know, it's just great. It's a
yeah.
wonderful endorphin booster. And you're paying for it anyway with your taxes, so.
A lot to be said out there in nature, just kind of appreciating the beauty of, obviously, of where we live. Janet, thank you for sharing that. Tim from Nantucket writes, any situation can be an opportunity. As bad as COVID has been, about 5 years ago, I began swimming in Nantucket Sound to deal with a nagging shoulder injury, and this has become a priority each year. But for several reasons, I biked almost everywhere this summer and averaged 5 miles a day with a quarter mile swim, and the endorphins are such a reward. Also, biking is a much more social means of transport, especially with COVID isolation. Tim, thanks for sharing that. And Hildy writes, I started walking 20 years ago when I was 35. The key is consistency. A brisk 3 mile walk every day is not hard to do once you make it a priority. It becomes a good habit. Consistency and making exercise a priority in your day is key. That's a good point that Hildy's bringing up, is the consistency, right, Jody?
Right. Making it part of a routine of your life. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we do every day in physical therapy, is trying to break down barriers and make lifestyle changes. You know, you have to, each individual has to decide what's important to them. What are you trying to accomplish in your life? What are your goals? You know, and then, you know, being guided as to how you can achieve those goals. You know, yeah. I say in my little bio in the, you know, on our website here that, you know, setting small incremental goals is really the way to go. If you look too much at the big picture, sometimes yep. it becomes overwhelming.
Absolutely.
But if you set yeah. small little goals, like today I'm going to walk, you know, a quarter of a mile. And, you know, next week I'm going to go a half a mile, or, you know, whatever it might be. And then attaining those, what a charge you get when you actually accomplish it.
And it seems some people have a little more, you know, self-discipline than others. And, you know, when I was at the gym, I really needed to meet a trainer or be in a class to really get myself going. And so, as I say, chasing a toddler around for the last few years has not been enough. And as I'm getting started now, I you know, you'd think wouldn't it be easy for me to just get out and walk by myself. But no. So we got the dog. So I'm out there every day walking a few miles with the dog. And then, you know, we also just got a TRX, but we had been using that when we were in the gym. So yeah, and starting back slow, because I have been amazed at, you know, how, you know, much weaker I am from when I was in the gym, and the back problem starting again. And you're right, you just have to find a way to make it a priority, whatever that is, right?
And you don't realize when you lost it, when it happened,
right?
You know,
exactly.
I have all of us say, well, I used to be able to do that. Well, when did it stop that you could?
Yes, that's right.
Did you not be able to do that? It just kind of insidiously happened.
Yeah.
I mean, the key thing is to find something that you really enjoy doing. I get asked all the time, well, I want to get a piece of equipment for my home. What should I get? And my pat answer is, buy the piece of equipment you're going to use.
Right. Yeah, okay. Because if you're not going to use it, what's the point? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Buy a bike if you hate the bike, then what's the point? You're never going to use it.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to first determine what you enjoy doing and what your body can physically handle. You know, sometimes, you know, music will help, or watching, you know, watching something on your iPad while you're engaged. will help. Gaming platforms, you know, for a lot of people, you know, when the Wii first came out, that was a wonderful way to get a little bit of exercise while you're involved in some sort of virtual competition.
Yeah.
we have a lot of people here who are taking Zoom classes with our trainers, and we have one particular couple I know, or people I know, they're friends. They live in different parts of the country, but they decided to take this personal training Zoom class together. So once a week, they're together on Zoom taking an exercise class on different coasts of the country.
That's great. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about staying active at any age with Dr. Jodi Colaccini. She has a doctorate in physical therapy, over 40 years of clinical experience in orthopedic sports and geriatric care. 866-999-4626. We'd love to hear from you. You know, your questions or comments or share your stories of success. 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Ryan writes, I normally play hockey over the winters, but obviously this year is a bit different. I ended up joining the Coco Fit Club in Dennis. The program is great and the gym is safe and has very flexible hours. They also offer classes that are spread out and safe. I feel great and has helped my overall mood and even my eating habits as well. Ryan, thanks for sharing that. And Carol writes, have you addressed the importance of hydration and diet? I am experimenting with plant-based eating, settling at about 80% plant-based, and I feel great. Carol brings up a really good point, Jodi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You definitely need fluid when you work out. And all those fancy drinks, you know, all the Gatorades the drinks with electrolytes, you can do really well just with regular water. Your body needs the fluid to perform at its peak performance. As far as the plant-based, I'm very interested. I just watched a show last evening, regarding that and how recent research has come out that's saying the plant-based protein is as effective, if not more effective, in building muscle and increasing athletic performance. So, yeah, there seems to be a push, especially at the professional level now, with athletes switching to a plant-based diet.
Yeah. And another thing we should talk about, breathing. You got to remember to breathe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In your exercise. Nose out through the mouth. Yeah, holding your breath causes what's called a Valsalva effect, where your lungs and your heart becomes compressed by the pressure of the air being held in the lungs. So you're not getting adequate blood flow or oxygenation through your blood when you hold your breath. Breathing is extremely important to exercising efficiently.
Yeah. So remember to take the sips of water, breathe. And I think for some people, when they haven't had a lot of exercise and they start exercising and you're getting a lot more oxygen than normal, getting a little lightheaded can happen, right? So people shouldn't get too concerned about that, right?
I don't know if you get lightheaded from too much oxygen. You may get lightheaded from a sudden drop in blood pressure.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, maybe. As you exercise, you get dilation of your blood vessels. So if your cardiovascular system isn't as efficient in regulating that blood pressure, you may get a temporary drop in blood pressure, which may make you feel a little lighter, a little lightheaded.
Take it easy, right?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I said just take it easy. Is that what you would do?
Yeah. You know, if you're prone to, especially as we get older, when we get up and change position from laying down to sitting up, because our reflex mechanism that brings that blood back up to our head quickly is a little slower, there's a drop in blood pressure. And a lot of people will tell you that they feel a little lightheaded when they first sit up or they first stand up. So just move slowly. Change position slowly. Make sure your head is clear before you continue.
All right. Linda at Sagamore Beach is giving us a call. Hi, Linda.
Hi there. I just want to share a success story.
Sure.
I've been an avid walker for a long, long time. I started about 35 years ago with a neighbor. We made it a part of our, coordinated our schedules. We both worked full time, both had families, but we just, walked for 15 minutes We tried to shoot for 5 days a week, and then let's do an extra loop here. And it would get a little longer, and then it would get a little longer. And 35 years later, we're probably doing about a 4-mile walk multiple times every day, pretty much, unless the weather doesn't cooperate. Yeah. So, you know, to comment on what an earlier caller said, just start slow and just then add to it and add to it. And it really pays off. So not only do I have the benefits of the walk, but a great friend in the process.
I was going to say, doing it with a friend probably makes it a lot. You forget, the time goes by and you're like, yeah, let's do another loop. Linda, thanks for sharing that. We appreciate
and also,
your...
And when
your...
you don't really feel like it, you've got your friends, yeah, let's do it, you know, just to get you out there, even when you've had a hard day and it's like last
you're
thing
like,
you want to do.
Skip it, yeah.
You don't want to disappoint your friend, so you do it.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. Great advice, Linda. So. Thanks for the call. Vivian is giving us a call from East Ham. Hi, Vivian.
Good morning. Hi. I'm bringing in another point of view, if that's okay.
Sure.
We haven't talked anything about the arts and about theater and choral singing and playing, because that's what I've done. I've sung for years, and I'm 85, and my lungs are great, and I do these exercises for singing. People who play instruments, I mean, we all work out that way. You don't have to go to, as far as I'm concerned, to a gym. I've walked a lot, and I've done, but it's that other side that has never, as far as I can tell on your programs, been talked about, which is the music and the arts, which are vital and very important to many of us, and can provide the similar sort of exercise to what you're talking about.
Oh, thank you for that call. Jody, do you have thoughts on that?
Well, I think she's addressing, you know, well, from a cardiovascular standpoint, of course, when you're singing, you're really using your lungs very, very efficiently. But the joy that it sounds like she gets from, the singing and the music, you know, that's her endorphin. That's her enkephalin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do what you enjoy. Yeah, Vivian, thank you for sharing that. Diane from Chatham says, adult ballet is a healthy way of gaining strength and balance. Oh, boy, Diane, you're spot on with that. That's great. Judy, ballet, it's tough and it's really good for you. Judy says, love the show. It's my favorite subject. I'm a Pilates teacher and personal trainer, and I just want to say how terrific Pilates is. Also great with strength training. I want to encourage all of your audience to get moving. The benefits are incalculable. Thank you, Judy, for that. Let's see. Carol says, I am also an avid cyclist, but sort of a wimp out when it's below 50. Since cycling is my favorite exercise, non-weight bearing and great cardio in winter, I did indoor spinning classes before the pandemic. I was tempted to buy a certain type of bike, but the price was too high. I found a great spin bike online last year and used fitness audio app called TIV, that's only $14 a month. I find the indoor spinning has made me a stronger outdoor cyclist by the time spring rolls around. Carol from Harwich, thank you for sharing that. And we have Mike from Vineyard Haven calling in. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I'm in my late 70s. I'm still working. But the issue of falling kind of interests me. I've had taken a few falls in the last couple of years, mainly because I just tripped, sometimes just tripped over my own self. Mm-hmm. But more often than not, I've noticed, I think because of cities and towns not having sufficient money to keep their sidewalks and the roads paved well, I see more ruts, bricks, where there's maybe a brick sidewalk where bricks are coming up. And I've kind of got into this habit of looking down when I walk instead of looking straight ahead. I don't know if the physical therapist, a very interesting lady, by the way, very knowledgeable, has any thoughts about how you can prevent yourself from falling.
Yeah. That's a good question.
You know, I mean, yeah.
Go ahead, Jody.
Balance is, yeah. Yeah, fall risk is huge, and it's a lot of what we do day to day here in physical therapy. There's many, many components to balance. So I think the first thing you would need to kind of figure out is, do you feel like your legs are weak, or do you feel like you're having any sense of vertigo? Are you relying on your visual cues to give you information about where you are? Sounds like you are if you're looking down. I would strongly suggest that you maybe consider getting assessed at a facility and just have a professional kind of see where your particular deficits may be and give you some activities to do to help fine-tune where you may have some problems.
Sure.
But Mike, I think
you all trip over the brick in the sidewalk, you know. What happens as we get older is we don't pick our feet up as much. Oftentimes, sensory-wise, maybe we don't feel our feet as efficiently, so we don't really know where we place them. You know, our vision isn't as acute. You tend to rely more on your vision as you get older because those other systems start to diminish a little bit. They're not as reactive and as quick to send information to your brain. So you really start to rely on your vision to give you those environmental cues to know where you are in space. But there's, again, there's many, many components, and the deficits and the problem areas can be teased out with an exam.
Yeah. My last question is there anything you can do to improve your balance at home? I mean, something, you know.
Very simple. Okay, trying to stand on one leg. Trying to stand in a tandem position, you know, with one foot in front of the other, and see if you can sustain that for, you know, 15 to 30 seconds. Standing in that position and trying to turn your head from right to left without falling over. You'd be surprised how difficult that is for a lot of people.
Wow.
The minute you change your head position, it changes your vestibular system and it changes some of the reflex responses in your body. And, you know, it's much harder to maintain an upright posture. So those are just some very, very simple things you can do.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate that. So, Jody, what are some, I guess, universal tips to help avoid injury as we exercise and get going, especially as we are getting a little bit older?
Okay. I think starting slowly, stretching muscles are very important. You want to increase your flexibility. You want to strengthen those muscles that you may need for the particular activity that you want to pursue. So again, you know, if you want to pursue, a walking regimen, then you may have to work a little bit on your calf and your quad strength, on your hip strength. Wearing and using the right equipment is so important. You're not going to go out and take a walk in your ballet flats. you want to make sure that you're wearing supportive shoes. If you have, foot problems, you might want to consider an over-the-counter orthotic or a custom orthotic if it's required, so that your foot has a good support system. What happens at the foot level has ramifications all the way up your body. So if your foot is not aligned, your knee is not going to be aligned, your hip, your back, and so forth. So you run into more issues with potential, injury to other parts if your feet are not in its optimal alignment. When you're exercising, you want to make sure that you're using proper technique. All right. So you don't want to be flinging the weight around just because you think you can lift it and have horrible form, because you'll probably injure yourself with that.
Yes. Again, that's starting slow. We've less than 30 seconds. Is it ever too late? Can you do this can you start at any age?
You can start at any age. Age. I've had 85-year-olds who have been pretty much wheelchair-bound be able to get up and walk with a walker or cane within their home and have a much higher quality of life just through a regular exercise program and a little motivation. Never too late. Never too late.
Dr. Jody Colaccini, doctorate in physical therapy, over 40 years of clinical experience in orthopedic, sports, and geriatric care. She currently sees patients at Cape Cod Rehab. We'll have a link at our website with more information at capeandislands.org. Jody, thanks so much for inspiring us this morning. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thank you for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.